Welcome back to React Native Radio Podcast. Brought to you by GitHub Copilot. What new career are you thinking about? Episode 203, React Native Express with Devin Abbott.
Hey, React Native Radio friends, welcome back. This is the React Native Radio Podcast, and I'm Jamin Holmgren, your host. I'm joined by my monumental co-hosts, Robin. Robin, do you feel monumental this morning?
I don't know if I feel monumental. Being a monument is kind of a big deal. It's kind of a lot to live up to.
Don't really move much, made out of stone.
That's probably more accurate.
Okay, gotcha. Also, John Major, who is joining us, he was on a previous episode as well, and he's joining us today as another guest host appearance. How are you doing, John Major?
I'm doing pretty good. I feel somewhat monumental as I'm standing here very still.
Yes. Well, very cool that you could join us again today. So, as people know, Robin is a senior software engineer located near Portland, Oregon, southwest, right? Southwest. Beaverton. Beaverton. If you're in this area, Beaverton. And she works at Infinite Red with me, and she does React Native pretty much all day. And John Major is the same. But he does not live in Beaverton. Nope. John Major, where do you live again?
Janesville, Wisconsin.
There we go.
Emphasis on the Scanson.
Yeah. It's not correct if you don't emphasize that.
It's not.
And today it's not just us, but we also have a very special guest who is also monumental, Devin Abbott.
Devin, hi,
welcome to the program.
I'm happy to be here. Great to meet everyone.
Yeah, it's great to have you on. And you and I have interacted in the past. We actually did a Zoom call a while back talking about something that I'll touch on during this episode, but Devin is a designer and developer working on tools and React. He created Lona and SourceNote. He previously worked at Airbnb. He founded Deco, which I remember back in the day. It was a tool, we'll talk a little bit about it, which was acquired by Airbnb, and also worked at Yahoo, which is kind of fun. So we'll talk a little bit more. Devin, where are you located, by the way?
So I am in San Francisco.
Yeah, very cool. Before we get into our topic for today, I want to mention that this episode is sponsored by Infinite Red. Infinite Red is a premier React Native design and development agency located fully remotely in the USA and Canada. We have years of React Native experience since it was released, and we have deep roots in the React Native community. We are the hosts of Chain React. We also publish the React Native newsletter, and we do a bunch of other React Native things. So hit us up if you need work on your next React Native app, hello@infinite.red, or email me directly, jamin@infinite.red. You can learn more on our website, infinite.red/React Native. Don't forget to mention that you heard about us through the React Native Radio Podcast. Also, we are hiring senior React Native engineers. If you're a senior level React Native engineer located in the US or Canada, go to careers.infinite.red, fill out the form. All right, let's get to our topic for today. Today we're talking about React Native Express, and I'm pretty excited about this. But let's build up to that. Let's get a little context here, Devin. Let's talk about your background first. It says you worked at Yahoo. I'm pretty sure you're the first Yahoo developer I've ever talked to.
Really?
Or at least that admitted it, I guess. What did you do at Yahoo?
Well, first, Yahoo was a lot of fun. I joined right when Marissa Meyer became the CEO. So it's kind of fun being part of this potential underdog story. Mm-hmm. That didn't end up panning out, but it was still a lot of fun being part of it.
I'm sure.
So I joined right out of school to work on Node.js applications. But then about 2 weeks before I joined, I got a call and they asked, do you want to be a product manager instead of an engineer? And I said, what's a product manager? And they sent me an article that didn't really explain it very well, but the key aspect was I would make $20,000 a year more. So I said, yeah, I'll do it. So instead of becoming a programmer, I became a product manager at Yahoo for 2 years.
Wow. Talk about on-the-job training.
Yeah.
Going from not knowing what it is to doing it every day.
It was this thing called the APM program, which is at a bunch of companies now for like engineers who want to transition into product management.
Oh, interesting.
That's very interesting. I'd imagine that's actually helped you in your path as an engineer, kind of knowing that side of things.
I think so. It definitely made me realize that I like wearing multiple hats more than being just a product manager or just an engineer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you said that you were a designer also, or Jamin said that you were a designer.
Jamin said that I was a designer.
Was he wrong?
Was he wrong?
It's on your Twitter bio, you know, what can I say?
I work on design tools, and yeah. I would say I never really thought of myself as a designer, but since I started using Sketch, maybe in 2014, I feel like I can make reasonable looking designs.
Nice.
Like before that, when I was in Photoshop, there was no chance. but in Sketch, and now, of course, Figma also, it's really not too bad.
Yeah, no, and a lot of, I guess you can't just limit design to, you know, the graphics, because there's a lot of design that goes into building tools.
Aren't we all designers on some level?
Yeah, that's true. Justin will be listening to us, our lead designer, and just shaking his head.
He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Hey, Justin, I could do your job easy.
I'm just going to go download Sketch. But no, I agree with you, Devin. There's a lot better tools. And also, yeah, the definition of design definitely has expanded over the years. You created an IDE for React Native a long time ago. So actually, first, how did you get into React Native in the first place?
So it was 2015. I'm a PM at Yahoo, and we're building mobile apps. And it would just take so long to build a mobile app. You know, you'd have Marissa, the CEO, come up with this genius mobile app idea. And then, you know, 9 to 15 months later, you'd have a proof of concept on iOS and Android, you know? And that's just a really, really long time. By that point, a competitor had already released the same app. And at that point, you know, we probably canceled the project. So I thought, well, there has to be a better way. And I guess Facebook was thinking the same thing at the time. So when I left Yahoo in 2015, I started Deco. It originally wasn't specific to React Native. We just wanted a better way to design and develop mobile apps. And when we started digging into React Native, it seemed like the obvious choice at the time, because the cross-platform options were pretty much limited to either web views or React Native.
Mm-hmm. That's really cool.
Before React Native, did you ever check out Ionic or Titanium, other cross-platform mobile applications?
Yeah, I don't remember when Ionic started getting big, but at least at the time, I think it was still all web views, and I don't know if it still is or not. Titanium is very interesting, and in some ways, I'm surprised that Titanium didn't take off more, although I guess it's integrated into the whole Microsoft ecosystem, so maybe it is actually still living on in some form. But Titanium seemed, you know, like a pretty reasonable solution. It just didn't have that React layer in it.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming PhoneGap, aka Cordova, was off the table.
Since that was WebView based, we decided that we didn't want to go that route, especially back in 2015. WebViews just couldn't even compare, really.
Yeah, they've gotten a bit better, but even then, like, I somehow ended up partially in charge of the React Native WebView itself, and it's just a monster, and I don't know, like, it's just the wrong tool for the job mostly, and the only reason people are using it is to, you know, well, for reasons that React Native has solved, essentially. But yeah, I mean, then you created Deco, and did you code it yourself? Like, how big was your team?
So we were a team of 4, and I did code a lot of it myself. There were 2 to 3 of us focused on coding most of the time. Deco was, I think, still a really interesting and in some ways needed product. The idea was, what if there was this all-in-one development environment that you could download for React Native? Sort of like downloading Xcode or Android Studio, but just for React Native. There were a bunch of challenges at the time. One of the big ones was, well, actually, you still needed Xcode and Android Studio and all of the native setup, because there really was no Create React Native app. Expo was just getting off the ground. So as much as we tried to be this all-in-one solution, the underlying tools weren't quite there yet.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then Airbnb came around and said, "Hey, we want at least your team." Did they were they interested in your tool at all, or was it mainly the team?
Yeah, so we had actually worked pretty closely with Airbnb. They, even before we started talking about an acquisition, they brought us in to integrate Deco into their product and workflow, sort of as a demo, really, but just to sort of sell the React Native vision, I guess, to Airbnb engineering as a whole. Here's what it would look like if you had this amazing tooling and this cross-platform development environment and so on. So we already knew everyone there really well. And then at some point, we realized we would either have to raise more money or get acquired or just shut down, but that didn't sound very fun. And when we thought about it, it seemed like we just weren't going to be able to make the tool that we wanted, and getting acquired by Airbnb and being part of essentially the most advanced React Native system and team at the time, that seemed more exciting to us.
Yeah, Airbnb was doing a lot of open source. They had a lot of kind of prominence in the community. And of course, that all kind of famously, I'm sure people listening to this who have been around since back in those days, came to a bit of a crashing halt later. And we actually talked about in the panel, Chain React 2018, I think, where it was, there was a blog post posted by Airbnb saying, "We're not going to use React Native anymore." And, you know, I knew some people over there at Airbnb, Leland Richardson being one of them, and he was sort of an internal champion, I think, for React Native. But even like what you just said there, where Deco, they were sort of trying to sell the vision of React Native internally. So it sounded like maybe it wasn't the easiest sell at the time.
Yeah, I would say, you know, I didn't experience the beginnings of React Native at Airbnb. So I came in sort of in the middle, and there was a large iOS and Android team at the time. And then the React Native team was, in comparison, extremely small. So it was like, you know, 40 native iOS developers, 40 native Android developers, and, you know, maybe 10 React Native, but probably even less than that full time. Like, you know, people were sort of borrowed and so on. And so the goal was not really to switch everyone to React Native, because all of the native developers, of course, were resistant to that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that meant that this small team was essentially doing the work of these other two much larger teams to reach parity in terms of the infrastructure. So all the same design system components, all the same libraries and networking and converting to GraphQL and all that stuff was sort of understaffed. And also, there wasn't this motivation in the company at large to transition fully. So instead of realizing the React Native dream of having just one platform, we now had three platforms. So it was actually worse in most ways.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That when if you're not all in on React Native, then it's just a third platform to manage, and with a team that's comparatively much smaller, I can see why it wasn't really destined to succeed there. Did you, while you were at Airbnb, did you get to work sort of on the brownfield side and like integrating React into their native application?
By the time I started, Leland and Gabe Peel had pretty much already done all of that. Mm-hmm. And I think there are some other people involved in the beginning, but at the time, those two people were the ones integrating with the native side.
What was your role at Airbnb specifically?
My role was very confusing.
roles often are.
Yes.
I was sort of between two teams, and I actually ended up switching from one to the other. I started in the React Native infrastructure team. So my role was to maintain the design system components. But then I switched to the design infrastructure org, and I became a design technologist on the design tools team. So I switched more from the engineering side of things to the design tool side of things.
Gotcha.
There's that design word again.
Exactly.
It was in my title, so I must be a designer, I guess.
You did leave Airbnb then. I think you said when we were chatting earlier that it was prior to Airbnb stopping the whole React Native thing experiment.
So you were gone before the infamous blog post, right?
were you actually responsible for them?
Well, I'm Devin's joking. Gone, so we might as well give up this whole
we're
thing.
We're done. Yeah.
I like to think I was. No, I'm just kidding.
Planted the seed and ran.
So, I mean, that change had been on the horizon for a long time. It honestly had almost even started by the time I joined in some ways, or like the writing was on the wall, perhaps. So I knew about the blog post when I was there, but then it didn't officially come out, I think, till after I left. Mm-hmm. But even, you know, 3 to 6 months before the blog post, we React Native engineers all knew about it anyway. So it didn't come as a surprise
to us. I'm sure it was not a last minute kind of thing. I'm sure it had been in the works for a while.
Yeah, there had been approval for the blog post. It wasn't some engineer going rogue.
Just like wrote it up overnight. Well, that's really cool. You have a really varied background in the React Native space, and it seems like you've been you've been a part of the React Native community for a really long time since it was in its infancy. So then how did React Native Express come to be? Let's like move toward our topic for the day. How did that come about after you had left Airbnb?
Well, this actually goes back to Deco times.
Oh, okay.
When we started Deco, most people hadn't even heard of React Native. And if they had, they definitely didn't know anything about it and didn't know what React Native code looked like. So the success of our product and our company really depended on the success of React Native and of just providing a smooth developer experience in general. Even if we made it easier for people to download and set up React Native, they still had to learn how to write React Native code.
Yeah.
And at the time, I'm sure everyone here knows this, but the React Native docs left a lot to be desired.
Yeah.
They're getting better. They're getting better, but yeah.
Yeah.
At the beginning, they were definitely... They looked like what docs usually look like in the beginning.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we had Rachel Neighbors. Yeah, go ahead.
On episode 178 to talk about the effort of, improving those documentation. But yeah, you're right. It was pretty sparse.
So actually, can we get a really quick TLDR? What is React Native Express for people who don't know?
React Native Express is a one-stop, all-in-one guide to learning React Native. And it doesn't try to duplicate what the official documentation has, so it'll refer to that, but it also covers things beyond the official documentation. So newer JavaScript or TypeScript features, libraries that are important in the React Native community, patterns that companies use, like how to structure a large React Native app, where your files should go and that sort of thing. All these are somewhat outside the scope of React Native core, but super important as a React Native developer.
Yeah, I get the question quite often, you know, Jamin, what's the best way to get started with React Native? And for quite a while, I would just send them to the docs. And I would often like think to myself, man, I wish we had a course that I could send them to. You know, we have Infinite Red Academy. It seems like a very natural fit for us to have a, you know, getting started with React Native thing. We may still eventually do that. But I found React Native Express. And I think originally it was fairly sparse. But I went back there, I don't know, a year ago or 6 months ago or something. And I was like, wow, this, like, they've continued to evolve this. It's like a whole thing now. And I started sending people to that.
Including me.
Yeah, John Major, that's right. Yep. Because John Major, you want to talk really quickly about how you kind of came from the website.
Sure, yeah. So I came from the website of React and now in Native. And Jamin had sent me the React Native Express to check out. And yeah, it was definitely very well defined, I'd say. I was able to go through just about it all. And also coming from React, it was pretty simple to kind of get the concepts. Basically, the concepts were the same. Where it was very helpful was to see like how a React Native application is structured and what are some packages that I would use in the React Native side, such as async storage instead of local storage.
Yeah, so it's one of the line items that I send our new developers who are coming on board who, you know, maybe they're coming from the React background. We actually just hired a junior developer, Kate, and and I gave her React Native Express. So it's given me just a go-to source for that. And actually, this is where I met Devin, because I reached out and I said, hey, this is something that's really cool. It's something that I've been referring people to. Have you considered maybe taking on a sponsor? And so we talked on Zoom, and we you know, Infinite Red ended up being a sponsor. And so you'll see our name on the and link on the website, as well as some other community resources that we are involved in, our Infinite Red Slack community, the newsletter, podcast, things like that. I think the conference maybe. So that was kind of how we got connected. But I love that there's a free website out there that is just focused on how do I start. And how, you know, what information do I need to know? There's always docs, and they're getting better all the time, but docs are usually fairly narrowly focused. They're not going to go out there and say, you should use this, or you should look at these, you know, third-party libraries and things like that. Or I think an outside third party, like yourself can approach it more from that angle.
Right. Docs don't necessarily tell you how to use the tool. They tell you what the tool does, and they explain like what the functions that are available. Doesn't necessarily give an opinionated like, hey, this is how people are actually using this in the real world, and this is how to build an app from scratch. So this is a really, really nice companion tool. So is React Native Express a side project for you? Is it like, or is it your full-time gig?
React Native Express has always been just for fun for me. I really enjoy education in general and teaching programming stuff, but I don't know if I'd really want to do it full time just because I love building software so much.
That makes sense. How hard is it to keep it updated? Because I mean, React Native is releasing a new version every couple of weeks. How hard is it to keep React Native Express up to date?
It used to be much harder when the version changes changed
like
everything.
Entirely new components every time. Like
now we have buttons. Well, I guess now we have pressable also. But lately I feel like, at least in terms of backwards compatibility, things rarely break. Sometimes there will be new things, and you know, that may take me a little while to get on the website, but nothing ever really goes away or stops working. So it hasn't been too bad.
Now, one thing that I think is super cool about it is that you have an interactive playground on most pages. So you can actually see like a little iPhone off to the right-hand side, and then you can mess with the code and see how it changes on the right. That's actually, I just realized that's powered by something else you made, JavaScript Playgrounds.
Yes. There's actually a funny story behind this.
Ooh.
So back in, I guess, 2016, when I launched React Native Express, part of the reason why I wanted to make the site was React Native Web had just come out. Mm-hmm. This is Nicholas's project out of Twitter. The idea is, what if we had a web implementation of all the core React Native components? And so when I saw that, I thought, well, this means that I could emulate the React Native development environment without anyone having to go install Xcode or any of the other native stuff. So I created this little playground using an iframe and stuck it in React Native Express. And React Native Express was on top of our favorite orange website, Hacker News, in 2016. And Christopher mm-hmm. Chedeau, one of the people behind React Native, saw it. And he messaged me on Facebook and asked, hey, can we use this as the official React Native docs?
Really? That's pretty cool.
Because the React Native docs just were so lacking back then that, you know, I guess seeing something come along and be a big improvement, it sort of sparked that conversation. So we decided ultimately not to just swap the official docs for mine. But Kevin Lacker, who was the head of open source at Facebook at the time,
right.
He hired me for 2 weeks to integrate my interactive player into the docs and also just write some pages of the docs that had that, you know, weren't quite as good as what was on React Native Express.
I was like, some of this looks really familiar. And I was mm-hmm. like, now that's really cool that it's actually in the React.
So you're behind that then, the interactive, because I know they've had it on the docs. I thought they were using some other system, but they're actually using yours.
Wow, that's really cool.
Until 2018, I think, or maybe 2019, it was all using mine for interactivity. Then Expo added the web.
Snacks.
Yep, the web simulator to Snacks. So,
oh, okay.
I think until that point, it wasn't really Expo on the main docks, just because Appetize, the simulator that powers those, the Expo snacks, couldn't handle the traffic, if I had to guess. But once they had the web simulator, then suddenly it doesn't really need a backend.
It's all client. Yeah.
So now I think in the React Native docs, you can actually use either, but it defaults to the Expo one. So like 99% of examples use the Expo one.
Now, this is very cool. And so just going through React Native Express for the, you know, everybody, you can go there, reactnative.express, and follow along if you're at a computer. But you start off with setting up your environment. And you talk about Expo CLI, you talk about React Native CLI, and then you kind of get into, let's go ahead and spin something up. You go sort of the Expo route initially, because, you know, that is the fastest way to get started with React Native. I really like having beginners start with Expo. It can be a little confusing to people. They're like, wait, what's Expo and what's React Native? Like, you know, how does this interplay work? And I don't know if there's really an easy way to resolve that, but it is still the easiest way to get to know that. You go through JavaScript, you go through JSX, you know, these are very important concepts. You talk about React, you talk about elements and how you can even just create them directly. It kind of gives a foundation for how this is all working under the hood. And then you get into components, you know, events, conditional rendering, user input, listing keys, performance, hooks. So you're going through a lot of the stuff. A couple other sections, core components, and then just app development. You talk about project structure, navigation, data management. There's a lot here. I'd imagine this took a lot of work.
Well, it did sort of build up over, I guess, 5 years now.
Okay.
So I've just been adding a page here and there every time, you know, I see the same question over and over on Facebook groups or whatever.
Yeah, totally. By the way, I need to get MobX State Tree added into your data management now that I'm the lead maintainer. You have MobX, you don't have MobX State Tree. So I need to get that snuck in there somehow.
You know, that sounds fine. I'm not really a MobX person myself. So yeah. While I get the idea, I wouldn't really know the difference or why the tree part's important.
I need a MobX State Tree dot Express website, I think.
Yeah, it needs its whole own site.
Really, we should work on the docs is what should happen. But
exactly.
You also talk about things like animation, which is, of course, a whole another story within React Native. And gestures, component libraries, native modules, which I think is a very critical component in the toolbox of a React Native developer. So I really like that you go through all this. You also have some exercises, and you're also promoting a book. Now, I understand this book, which is Full Stack React Native, The Complete Guide to React Native. You're actually in the process of rewriting it right now to be, you know, more modern React.
Yeah, I guess... Before, you know, maybe 2020, it felt like the React community still hadn't totally decided, like, hooks, classes, which is really the one we should be writing. I mean, it seemed like hooks were probably going to be the way to go. And then, you know, pandemic hit, so sort of everything slowed down. We had been updating the book, like, every, you know, 2 months to keep it up to date, keep up to date with new APIs and stuff. We haven't had a big overhaul to switch everything to hooks. And we really need to do that.
It's a huge undertaking.
Yeah.
Like, they have people full-time doing it just for the React Native docs. So,
right.
Like, yeah. Having to do it as a side project.
I think even the React docs, right? Like, yeah. Even the React docs still have a lot of classes in them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're slowly updating them, but it's a huge undertaking.
And then even if you do only teach hooks, eventually someone asks about this air boundary thing and then suddenly you're back to explaining classes and you're like, wait, let's rewind to chapter 3.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then there's also the concept of supporting old hooks or old class components from, you know, legacy apps.
Yeah, I can imagine a new developer coming in. Yeah, I know React. I just did a whole bunch of stuff and then is confronted with a class component. They're like, this isn't React.
Yeah, if you look at them, you wouldn't know they were the same,
right?
The same framework.
Well, and one of the funny things is I feel like native iOS and Android developers gravitate much more toward the class-based components.
Yeah. Right.
Now, maybe that'll change as, you know, Swift UI and Jetpack Compose get more popular. But true. At least historically, native developers see classes and they're like, oh, I know how this works. And then they see hooks and they're like, wait, this is so magical. I don't understand. How does it know?
And JavaScript classes are also magical.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And what you see isn't necessarily
what's
happening.
If you think you know how classes work, try a JavaScript class. It won't be what you think.
It's very true. It's very true. Do you think that React Native Express is more or less complete, or do you have plans to continue to add to it?
I think in terms of the content right now, it's about complete, but I would really like to have a video portion or maybe go through some of the sections in a video where I actually demonstrate in my VS Code on my computer how to do things, because I know a lot of developers just learn better through video.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. It can be hard to keep that up to date, though, too, because reshooting video is a whole different level than just editing some text.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I'm trying to figure out if there's a way I can automate it in some way, and I have some ideas, but, you know.
That would be very on brand for you.
Design a tool.
You'll come up with some tool, and then it'll you know, get acquired by Facebook or something. That's
what I hope not.
I mean, you're a super experienced React Native developer, having been with it from the beginning. But how do you sort of put yourself in the shoes of a beginner and write really beginner-friendly content?
One of the things that I think helps content in general is to sort of assume that everyone's a beginner to some degree.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of content where you're reading it and they assume a ton of knowledge, or they'll use words like, we'll skip over the trivial portion. You know?
You're like, oh, I feel so good about myself now.
I need the trivial portion.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And even someone with a ton of experience, you know, they might not have done some specific task for 6 months or a year or whatever. So I feel like to some extent, just by writing content that tries to be as accessible as possible to everyone, that also makes it hopefully more accessible to beginners. Though, you know, I don't really know for sure if my content's good for beginners or not.
You need some guinea pigs, some testers.
Well, I'll let you know what Kate thinks, because she's going to be going through it pretty soon. But I mean, from what I've seen, it sure looks good to me. Of course, I've been doing this a while too, so maybe I'm assuming a bunch of knowledge too.
We'll make sure to post on Twitter about everything we think it can be improved.
Okay, sounds good.
Public feedback.
Because public feedback is everybody's favorite.
Well, maybe post a GitHub issue.
Very cool. Well, unfortunately, we're running out of time here. But it's been a great discussion. And by the way, I do want to mention, it's not just React Native Express. There's also React.Express, which I think you maintain, right?
Yeah. So I also have React.Express. I have JavaScript.Express, TypeScript.Express, and then a fledgling WebDev.Express.
This is, wow. This is, for someone who doesn't want to do this full time, you're taking on a lot. but yeah, this rabbit hole goes pretty deep. That's pretty awesome.
I really want to check. I'm going to check out the TypeScript Express right now. It's like, I use TypeScript every day, but I still don't feel like I really like know everything that it does. So
that's great.
That's awesome.
There's some pages missing, but overall, I think it's pretty nice.
That's awesome. Very cool. Well, where can people find you online, Devin, to follow you?
Best place is Twitter, DVNABBOTT. You can also follow me on GitHub, DABBOTT. Probably it.
Perfect. And John Major, where do people find you online?
Twitter at John Major C, and at John Major C everywhere.
Very cool. And Robin, where are you?
I'm at Robin_Hines on Twitter.
And I'm at Jamin Holmgren. You can also follow React Native Radio at React Native RDIO. Thanks so much to our guest, Devin Abbott here. I mean, this was a great conversation. There's so much more we could have gone into here. But it gives people a little bit of a taste. Hopefully they'll get a chance to go check out reactnative.express and learn some things. As always, thanks to our producer and editor, Todd Wirth, our transcript and release coordinator, Jed Bartoski, and our social media coordinator, Missy Warren. Thanks to our sponsor, Infinite Red. Check us out, infinite.red/reactnative. Of course, thank you to all of you listening today. If you think that someone could benefit from checking out React Native Express, send them this episode. They'll have a little more context going into it, and also know who to complain to on Twitter if there's something wrong.
Thanks, Evan.
Yes, thanks so much. Also, reminder, Infinite Red is hiring React Native engineers. If you're a senior level React Native engineer located in the US or Canada, go to careers.infinite.red. See y'all next time.
Bye.
Bye.